coming up this week on The Course of Life. Quite obviously, the loss of the legend Kobe Bryant on our minds for sure. We're going to share our favorite moments from number 24's life and career, plus the golf connection as well, too, and how that all kind of got covered on air with Tiger Woods finding out. There's lots to unpack, plus a little gossip about a new golf tour, our Super Bowl prop bets, and a whole lot more. Plus, this week's guest for the interview is myself. We're going to get into a big week ahead. Lots of content to come from my trip to Scottsdale for the Waste Management Open and more. But first, it's 2020 now. It's pretty crazy. Our phones are attached to our hips all day, and rarely do they need a spot to sit outside of your pockets, with the exception of when you're on the golf course. This unsolved mystery of where the phone needs to be when you're golfing is in the past, now that Desert Fox Golf came along with the phone caddy, the go-to phone holder for golf carts designed to keep your phone safe and at your fingertips. With sliding wings and a faceplate, it adjusts to fit any smartphone model. It velcros right on in seconds, so you can keep your yardage scoring apps open where you need them to be seen, play music with ease, watch the game on your phone, answer texts and calls. I'm going to demonstrate it all for you this weekend when I'm in Arizona, so be sure to follow along as well, too. It's the phone caddy. It's Desert Fox Golf, the most functional way to keep your phone safe and ready on the course at all times. Go to desertfoxgolf.com and get yours today. They have different colors, customized options, and phone caddies that benefit great charitable causes as well. Again, that is desertfoxgolf.com.
Interwebs, and welcome to another edition of Course of Life, presented by Desert Fox Golf. This is the podcast where we talk about everything happening in the world of golf, plus other things that interest us in the world of sports and pop culture. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, we start on that somber note with the very surprising death of Kobe Bryant this weekend in that helicopter accident. Shocking. What were your thoughts when you first heard about this?
I threw my computer down in shock. I couldn't believe it. You know, this is one of those, you know, you'll remember where you were when this happened, you know, when Michael Jackson died, you know, when Princess Diana died. This was on that level because of his stature, not only as a basketball player, but as a man off the court with all the business enterprise that he's gotten into during and after his playing career. And it was just so stunning because Kobe's one of those guys, Mike, you kind of pictured him, you know, for the next 20, 30, 40 years, just on the sidelines at NBA games and, you know, NBA All-Star weekend, yucking it up with the younger players and giving them a hard time. And he's just such in the prime of his life to be taken away like this, along with his daughter. It's obviously unspeakably tragic. There's no way to speak around that. And it was just truly stunning. You know, it was one of those once in a generation, you know, deaths of someone that's in everyone's life. And he goes by one name, Mike, Kobe. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, it was certainly shocking. The text you sent me was completely out of the blue in the middle of my work day as well. And
Wild
of course,
Sunday.
It was just seeing the outpouring of grief and support for the Bryant family. And of course, for someone like me, who's a casual NBA fan and remembering everything about Kobe and learning so much as well about his daughter, Gigi, who was also in the crash, and the future that she seemed to be having in playing basketball as well.
Yeah. He was so excited, Mike, to talk about her and her future in the game as well, too. And from just anyone growing up, you know, who had parents in their life or is a parent now and is parenting kids, that's absolutely where it hits home for anyone. And that idea of him passing his legacy down to his daughters and specifically their ability to play on the court, just like their dad did. It was a very special bond that we kind of got to see, you know, post Kobe's playing career and just a part of kind of what made him how great he was.
And of course, there were some great tributes that were done after the news broke as well, running the play clock down 24
like
seconds.
That was a great move by the NBA.
That and then turning around and then also, you know, go ahead and running the 8 second clock out as well.
Yeah, that's right. Shout out to Kobe 8 and Kobe 24 too.
Yeah. Just great moments there. The game that was scheduled for tonight.
Yeah, Lakers Clippers. They went back on that and canceled it. Yeah, postponed it.
Yeah, it's that's going to be you know, I'm sure we'll have a very touching tribute that will be done when that game does happen. First game back for them. We will certainly think about Kobe and his lasting legacy and his legacy that he was working on with really trying to embrace more women's sports and put them more in the spotlight.
Oh yeah. And it will continue. It will be passed on through his family and obviously his rabid fan base. Mike, he had like one of the best, like strongest, hardest going fan bases that there is of any in our generation growing up. You know, when you know Kobe fan, you know Kobe fan. They're as intense as they come for their guy. And like I mentioned, Mike, it's not going to be the same. Like All-Star Weekend in a few weeks now, and just basketball in Los Angeles because of what he did. It's not going to feel quite the same without him. He's obviously going to be missed for a while, and it's a legacy like you and I mentioned, though, that doesn't end today, and it's gonna live forever for sure.
Indeed, and it was particularly interesting seeing how Tiger Woods reacted to the news as well, which we got to see
that was live. Again, the Sunday afternoon thing was so strange, Mike, because you know, you awkwardly, I mean, this was really bad. You know, you had ABC and ESPN showing the Pro Bowl on two different channels, Mike, you know, as this news is breaking. And then you had, you know, Tiger Woods competing on, you know, in the heat of competition on Sunday afternoon at Torrey Pines. And it was just a very kind of surreal scene in the crowd. You know, that California golf crowd was just stunned on their phones. And it was just very weird the way it played out all afternoon from a sports perspective.
Yeah, it's, I mean, like anything like this, it's difficult to decide how you're going to cover something like this. I do think I'm particularly surprised ABC and ESPN did nothing.
I know, that was bad.
That's just poorly done. From a personal perspective, I think it's really difficult and almost inappropriate on some level sometimes to pull someone like Tiger Woods, who as he's walking off 18 is told that Kobe passed away, and then pulling him immediately into an interview and asking him what he's feeling. That's an invasion of personal space.
Mike, the thing that I just can't get over is I can't believe that Joey Lacava, his caddy, or anyone around him didn't tell him earlier, because it happened when he was on about like the fifth or sixth hole of play.
I gotta be honest, for
a tournament, it was a very weird situation. Like, do you tell him? Do you not? Like, and when he said in his interview after the round, he had no idea what people were meaning when they were saying "do it for Mamba," or, you know, "hit the shot for Kobe" or something like that. And the news was just given to him literally as he walked off. It was a very strange timeline for Tiger finding out.
I actually kind of agree, and it sounds horrible, but I kind of agree with let him play his 18, and then you tell him as he. I'm actually okay with that order, because you may tell him and he may be unable to continue playing. The way he was talking during that interview after he walked up 18 and just found out, it was obvious to me that he was fighting back tears or fighting back the emotion that was coming with it.
It was strange. He gave a really like sportsy answer too. Like when he was talking about Kobe as a player, and you could just tell that he was kind of very stunned and just kind of giving something, you know, very kind of premeditated just before he could get off camera and really kind of let the emotion of the moment sink in. It was a very interesting moment to see his kind of live reaction. You know, you wait for the opinion of a guy like Tiger in the golf world to hear. Because he had a bond with Kobe. They came up right around the same time, Mike, in the mid-90s when you and I were kids. Those two guys were, you know, the young, hot, fresh athletes on the scene when you and I were growing up, and kind of transformed their respective sports for the next two decades.
And so there's two goats who like to hang out together all the time, and it was
definitely
it was just surreal.
It was a weird Sunday, Mike, and like, you know, to transition over to the golf, there's no easy way to do that. But, you know, you mentioned Tiger and that whole drama with him. He was competing a little bit at Torrey Pines. The whole tournament kind of got overshadowed with the news of the day. And, you know, even Jim Nantz and Nick Faldo were kind of admitting that as things went down on Sunday afternoon. But Mark Leishman did get the win overall by a couple, or one shot it ended up being, over John Rahm. Impressive W for him at Torrey Pines. John Rahm's won there before. Tiger was lurking, Rory was lurking. So all things considered, when you get a win like that to start the season, it's pretty impressive and definitely a good notch on his belt.
Yeah, it's of course this is the unofficial official start of the season, or the official unofficial start of the season.
It was just, you know, I tweeted out, Mike, and you know that feeling when it's like the first tournament you hear Jim Nantz calling golf. No offense to everyone else, I love the golf broadcasters that are out there on every network, but when you hear Jim Nantz calling golf and Tiger's there on a Thursday afternoon, like that was just the moment when I was like, okay. No shot at Hawaii or the Bob Hope, but the golf season's like really getting going now. We're officially here.
We're back on the continent.
Yeah.
It's time to start playing real golf.
Yep.
And the season will move on. Next weekend is the Waste Management Phoenix Open.
The People's Open.
People's Open. There's a loaded field. We'll talk more about this event a little later because you'll be there.
Yes, I will be. And just for X's and O's tournament sake, you know, Justin Thomas, Ricky, Jordan Spieth are going to be in the field. It's looking to be a really good set of tee times and feature groups Thursday and Friday with John Rahm as well, too. A lot of other guys that are playing good golf are going to be there. So we're going to get all into my full itinerary as well a little bit later on. Real quick shout out to our friends of the Euro Tour. They came out with another great video, Mike. I don't know if you got a chance to see it, but it was Andrew Beef Johnston versus Victor Hovland. And what they did, Mike, is they picked out of a bag of golf balls that were marked with different clubs in each of their bag. So on the tee, they both drew a golf ball. And unfortunately, Beef drew the golf ball with a lob wedge. So he had to tee off on the par 5 18th with a lob wedge and play from there. And every single shot, they were picking a different club. They were hitting punch 3 irons over the water. And they were laying up with like hybrids at one point. They had to chip with 8 and 9 irons. And they both made pars in the end. It was a really cool sight to be seen, and definitely a game I feel like I might incorporate in the very near future for my future golf outings, just playing a hole with completely random clubs with no choice at stake at all. It was a very cool concept.
Yeah, I like the idea. I'm not surprised they both were still able to make par.
They should
at that level.
Yeah, got over the water and everything. I think the best shot, Mike, was Victor Hovland hit a 4-iron from about 105 yards from the rough over water, and he landed it on the green. It was probably the best shot I've seen so far in 2020. So shout out to the Euro Tour social media team getting it done again.
Indeed. Let's move over to pop politics.
Yes, Commander-in-Chief.
Commander-in-Chief. Let's do chapter 5, right? We're into chapter 5 now.
That's right. Yeah. So we've been reading Commander-in-Chief by Rick Riley, the escorts and crazy stories of President Donald Trump on the golf course. And this is basically everyone's book club. So you can say that you're reading a chapter a week.
Yes.
Because it's the Cliff Notes. It's the Cliff Notes here. And chapter 5, Mike, which you'll appreciate, was all about the business side and the courses that Trump owns.
Yes.
Because, you know, he puts his name on a lot of golf courses. Every single one, actually.
Yep.
They did the numbers. He puts his name on every single one. There's a couple more in development. I believe it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 20. One of the funny things that they unearthed in the chapter 5 of Commander-in-Chief was the fact that all of these courses, Trump Los Angeles, Mike, do you think it's in Los Angeles or not?
Absolutely not.
Trump Philadelphia is in New Jersey. Trump New York, I believe, was in the New Jersey, New York line as well, too. Yep. There were basically a dozen or so Trump golf courses where he just labels the city on them. Trump Charlotte is about an hour north of Charlotte, in Virginia. So it was just funny, like misappropriation of branding on his end that they got into. And he goes the cheap route, Mike. He doesn't go for the world famous architect Tom Fazio. He goes for his brother instead, because his brother's on the cheap and he can put the Fazio name behind it anyway. So
it's a Fazio design golf course.
Exactly. That's right. Yeah. So he knows how to sell it for sure. So those are just a couple of the random tidbits into the courses that Donald Trump owns and puts his name on.
It's just, you know, I don't know.
He's clever.
I don't know what to say anymore.
He's clever.
I just don't know what to say anymore. Yeah. Yeah. So we'll have chapter 6 next week.
Yeah, I think 6. I took a little peek ahead. We're finally going to get into like some hardcore stories from individual accounts. So,
excellent.
From what I understand, we're going to get into some like celebrity and notable people accounts as written by Rick Riley. So, we're going to get into some direct stories of Donnie on the golf course. It should be a good turn for the Commander-in-Chief book club. the next week.
Will indeed. Next week also, we'll know the results of the Iowa caucuses.
That's right. We're caucusing. We're gathering in Monday night. Living rooms, yep. Gymnasiums, town halls, YMCA quarters, and we're standing together, and we're going to decide which side of the room we want to stand on, correct?
Yes, exactly.
It's very exciting.
Pretty much. That's pretty much exactly what's going to happen. We'll find out who will win the caucus next week. The other thing I'll say is I'm enjoying seeing so many senators drink milk in the chamber.
This is funny. So the thing I can't get over is the rules regarding the impeachment process and the senators. They can't drink certain things. They can't use.
They can only drink water and milk. In the chamber during the impeachment.
That's why.
Hearings.
Okay, I was wondering why there was so much milk. I just thought it was kind of an old guy thing, and I'm like an old guy. I like a glass of milk at night, so I'm like my dad and my grandfather.
Doing warm milk on top of me?
Definitely not. It's cold milk for sure. But I get it now. That it's just water and milk. I would probably choose milk pretty often in that scenario too, but you got to kind of wash it down at the end before you go to bed with water though. I don't know how these guys are dealing without their phones for that long. Shout out to them for bearing through.
Some of them said they've been really enjoying it. So, probably pretty more good. Power to them. So
the minimalist thing, right?
It's going to be an interesting continuing saga of impeachment. We're not going to talk anymore about it because it's just we're not that kind of podcast.
Yeah, we'll get there when we get there.
Let's talk about something else, though. Let's talk about this little trip you're taking this weekend.
Yes, let's do it. Well, welcome to the official interview segment for this week's episode. Yes. We're going
this week's featured guest. Yep. Next on the tee. It's Alex.
Yeah, it is. Thank you. Life. I appreciate that. And we're going guest-free because we're going to have just a smorgasbord, Mike, a plethora, an undawning of unreal amounts of content coming in the next month or two for my trip that I'm making this weekend.
Unlimited amount of range balls of content.
That's a good way to put it. It's going to be a large bucket for sure. You're going to want to pay extra for the large bucket. So there'll be a lot. In terms of, the trip itself, leaving on Thursday, getting there midday, heading back late Saturday night. So it's all business, but we're going to have some time for pleasure as well, too. And I've crafted a pretty good schedule at this point. I'm excited of what's to come. There's a lot of different guests from a lot of different walks. Be sure to stay tuned. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I tweeted it out. I sent it out, but it's Course of Life Alex on Instagram, Course of Life One on Twitter, MWRINC on Twitter, and Course of Life Podcast on Facebook. That's where you'll be able to find everything that you're seeing the next few days and obviously the next few weeks on the next several episodes. So it's a lot to look forward to.
Let's talk about some of the things you already have lined up, but you're going to be pumping out some of the Instagram lives or Facebook lives you're going to be doing on Thursday. When, like you said, you get there midday, you're going to be going to Papago.
Nice. You nailed it. I was wondering how you were going to pronounce it. I purposely left this part empty to see how you do. It's Papago. I said that 20 times over. Papago, 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 Papago. It's very easy. Rolls off the tongue. Staying right there in the Scottsdale area, Mike. And this isn't just any course. It's one of the nicest courses in the Scottsdale Phoenix Valley area. And a little guy named Phil Mickelson redesigned the practice facility. This is the home of the Arizona State Sun Devils, Mike.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
cool. So this is where they practice and play out of, a team that's lifted the national championship trophy before. Like I mentioned, Phil went there. He designed the practice facility, and we're gonna lay feet on it, Mike. And we're gonna have a couple of very cool guests, one being Josh Bione. He owns a supplement company. He's appeared on an MTV show as well, Flora Mima Shore, for those who know it. He's also a big golf fan too. So we're going to have a chat with him. We're going to hit balls with him. Also potentially a golf pro TBD that's going to join us for a little lesson. We're going to get some short little stories on Instagram stories, and it's going to be on Twitter where you can get tips for your game based off of the interviews we've done the last couple months, Mike. I'm finally going to take all this knowledge and I'm going to put it to content for everyone out there. So you can see a regular old golfer like me execute these shots that we've been hearing about in the interviews for the past few months. The wait's over,
it's only been like a year and change that we've done this podcast, that we finally get to see if anything has sunk in for you.
Yeah. Which, so I'm going to putt and use the clip from Sean Lange in that conversation a couple weeks ago. I'm going to hit the toe chip that Frederick Lindblom teaches, the draw chip on the putting green. So we're going to get into all those nitty gritty details of the game for sure. And we'll put it out for you guys, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, not only this week, that'll be featured on Thursday though. So we're going to have a lot of fun there. Papa Go's got a bar. They got a restaurant with a patio mic. They got live music starting at 4:30 on Thursday, so should be a great time for sure.
And on Friday, you get to hang out with our friends at Desert Fox Golf,
Scott and Eric. Yeah,
yeah,
that's right. Playing with the guys and the head pro of the course too, Mike.
Ooh.
So we're playing out at Rio Verde. Don't know much about the venue, but I looked into it. It looks gorgeous out there. I'm talking like mountain and cactus views in the background on every hole. We're gonna get a lot of nice picks out there, a lot of good content. And we're promoting the Phone Caddy. We've told you about it at the top of every episode. And there are partners. Cool. There are guys, Mike. They supported us very well. They had a great showing at the PGA Merchandise Show last week in Orlando.
Pretty awesome.
I think we're going to talk a little bit with them this week about our plans for that. Maybe a trip there in store next week. So we'll have a lot of fun with the Desert Fox guys on Friday at Rio Verde. And it's going to be a nice early morning round. The sun's going to rise over the desert mountains, Mike. It's going to be very picturesque. Look forward to it.
Yes. It's going to be great. And then also on Friday, you're going to # always end with food.
That's right. I figured, I was like, we're getting into the food game big time. We've had a lot of great Food Network guests and titans of industry in the foodie game for sure. And we're going to talk with a couple more, actually, when we do. We're going to do some live Instagrams Friday evening. So be sure to set your watch. We're going to shoot for late afternoon. You know, once you're slouching off at work and the work week's done, or you're heading home for the day, be sure to tune to Course of Life Alex on Instagram, Course of Life One on Twitter. We'll go live a couple times with a couple different foodies. We're going to get into some rattlesnake. I can tell you that. I won't get into specific menu items with you, Mike, but I can just tell you we're going to get into some snake, and then we're going to get into something else weird and interesting. Taste of Scottsdale.
You know, I'm trying to remember, and I'm pretty sure I did. I've been to Phoenix. My brother lived in the Phoenix area for a year and change.
Basically neighbors of Scottsdale, yeah.
And I believe I did have some rattlesnake when I went
there. There's a few different ways it can be prepared. I'll just tease you with that, Mike.
Yes.
So I'm going to show you the interesting side of Taste of Scottsdale, and we'll get a taste of the # WM Phoenix Open Takeover Week. It'll be a good time for the golfers, the foodies, everyone who just enjoys a good trip and vacation. We'll be documenting the weekend. And then obviously, you know, without, you know, leaving the elephant in the room, tournament Saturday, Mike. So it's going to be a lot of fun. That's the craziest day of the week. I'm debating doing the early morning run out to 16. So I might go live for that, Mike, if I wake up super early and we're motivated. So that could be a lot of fun. And obviously scenes from 16, the course, everyone out there, it should be a great time had. And if you're out there, send us a tweet, send us an Instagram. I'll be sure to meet up with anyone who is joining in the madness on Saturday. Definitely the craziest golf day of the year on tour.
Definitely. Is and one of the biggest sports weekends of the year, because then of course Sunday is Super Bowl. We'll talk about that in a little bit. So like we said, make sure to follow us on Facebook, of course, Live Podcast.
Yep.
You can follow Twitter, Instagram, all this
Facebook
stuff
guy.
And a little thank you. If you follow us too, you'll be able to get a 10% savings on some cool stuff to improve golf game with golftrainingaids.com. So you can take everything you've learned and then everything you see Alex learning and employing this weekend and buy some tools to help you improve your game too.
That's a
10% savings at golftrainingaids.com. Like our page on Facebook, Course of Life Podcast. Click the link in the offer. Use the code COL10. Save 10% off your entire order. We're going to take a little break and we'll come back and we'll talk about the Super Bowl, because there's that happening this weekend too. We'll be right back.
Let's do it. Thank you.
back. It's time to start talking about that other thing happening this weekend, Super Bowl LIV.
Oh, God. I hate the Roman numeraling now. Remember back in the day when we were kids and we had all the X's and the logo just looked so much more fire? It was like night and day.
Super Bowl triple X.
Oh, God. We had X's, V's, like three I's at one point. I miss the old logos, Mike. It just doesn't look the same. It looks so concrete and boring now. LIV. That's true. It's just not the same. But I'll tell you what is the same, Mike. Us not caring about the game and just caring about the prop bets. That's a tale as old as time.
I need to ask you a question before we get into the prop bets.
Okay. Yeah, what's up?
You've now gone really the entire NFL postseason without the Patriots. How does it feel?
This month has been so long, Mike. I can't get over how long January is. You know what I mean? It's just like it's unbelievable how long that month is when you don't have Patriots playoff games to rely on. It's really opened my eyes as to how many days are in January. It's very daunting. It's a full 31 indeed, and I've counted them all out individually. That's the one thing I've noticed is just the length of the month period. We're finally here, Mike. We finally got to the last game. It's Chiefs 49ers, but we're not talking about the football at all. We're talking about the prop bets and the random
prop
things.
Before
we get into the random list, I know that you have pulled up a couple that I always like to discuss with you first.
Yes.
Let's first get into the length of Demi Lovato's national anthem, Mike. I first want you to guess where you think the over-under is for how long that national anthem is, and then we'll talk
about it. I'm assuming the over-under number has changed since you tweeted it out a while ago.
It has, yes, a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's changed. So the problem is I don't even remember what the times were like Demi Lovato had sung or what the original over-under was. I'm going to say the over-under is now 2 minutes 10.
Wow, okay. All right, so you like the over then because the over-under is currently set at 2 minutes and 1 second right now.
Okay.
So you like the over very much.
I think I still like the over because if I remember correctly, each of Demi Lovato's anthems that she has sung have increasingly gotten longer, and she still is over that 2-minute, 1-second mark, right?
They have gotten longer to the over mark. You're correct. They started around the 150 to 156 mark for previous professional sporting events that she'd sung the national anthem for. Her most recent one, Mike, you remember McGregor versus Mayweather. She sung that one, and that was 2 minutes, 11 seconds. So she has been trending in that direction. So I think you like the over on that, over 2 minutes and 1 second for the national anthem.
Yeah, definitely. What's the odds on that? Do you know what the odds are right now
That's a slight favorite to hit the over. So basically you could bet, $15 to win, $10 or $12. So it's pretty much fair money.
If we have controversy with the anthem like we did last year.
That's right. It was very close last year. I do remember that.
It was a literal tie last year.
I got bit up. I think I ended up getting bit and again, I hadn't suffered a loss on that one. The other one, Mike, is Gatorade color. And so everyone is hammering red because of the colors in the Super Bowl. We've got two red teams. We got the Chiefs and the 49ers. However, there's a lot of stir on the internet about clear, Mike, because these teams have just been using clear Gatorade. They've been using clear Gatorade. So I'm wondering where you land. Do you pick the color red for Gatorade just because those are the colors of the team? Or do you maybe side with the internet who thinks the trend of the season is going to continue in the big one?
I almost want to throw out a wrench to all this and say that maybe it's clear because it's water.
Oh, wow. Ooh, yes. Ooh. Maybe if it's just clear packed. I know that they like to throw like some sort of powder or protein, something in sometimes, not all of the tank, the gallon tanks or whatever of the drink they have on the sideline. So I'm not sure what comes out, but yeah, you're right. If it is water, then that's just a huge trick question. And it's definitely clear for sure.
I'm going to go out on a limb here.
Okay.
I'm going to go yellow.
Wow. Okay. That is an underdog. So you could win some money on that one for sure. So those are the ones that I like highlighting, Mike. There's a whole bunch of others on a list that I sent over to you the other day.
Yes.
Let's get into some of your favorites. There's a bunch regarding just mentions and things happening. And you got to really have a very keen eye and a keen ear for what happens during the broadcast, because every single word spoken could be a live and die bet for someone in terms of these prop bets for the Super Bowl this Sunday.
Yeah, these are pretty crazy. How many times will we see the Golden Gate Bridge?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to show it at least once.
At least
once. Have to hammer the fact that they're going to just show it. Yeah, I would say yes, they're going to show it. I don't know about more than once, though. That's tough. It's San Francisco, but the game is not there. The game is in Miami. They're going to show Miami. Show
it, I mean, also, actually, here's my question. What do we consider the game? Because in the pregame, definitely we're seeing the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yes.
Definitely.
No, I do know for a fact that this is from like the official start time of the game to the to the final whistle. So this is game time only. This is not pregame at all.
That actually makes it much more difficult.
Right. Yeah. So that's something to consider when you lay on these prop bets here for Super Bowl betting, is this is only from the start of the game to the end of the game. Most of these do not cover any of the pregame at all. One of the other random ones I want to bring up, Mike, the internet's been trying to kill Betty White for over a decade now. It's slanderous, and I refuse to accept it. I won't take it. She's my true golden girl. You know that for a fact. And one of the prop bets is, will Betty White be in the Snickers commercial? I mean, the way that's phrased, if that's a prop bet and they're throwing that out there, you would feel like she's going to make an appearance. I haven't really looked into her contract with Snickers, but I sure hope we see her Sunday night. So I'm going to have to bet that she'll appear at some point in the Snickers commercial.
I think probably. Yeah.
Okay. So that's one I'm on.
Here's two interesting ones. I'm going to put two of these together for the halftime show.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So Shakira and J-Lo doing the halftime show together.
Will we see either Gloria Estefan or Rihanna on stage?
So I would hit Gloria Estefan in this scenario.
Yeah, I would think
J-Lo and Shakira are looking to bring on someone who is not like completely Latin Miami. And I know that Rihanna is from the Virgin Islands and she's from the Caribbean in general, but I don't think culturally she matches exactly with J-Lo and Shakira, whereas Gloria Estefan does much more so.
And Rihanna could do her own halftime show on her own.
Correct. Right. True. And there's another one.
Not anymore.
There's another one. Will Jay-Z be shown during the halftime show? First of all, Shakira and Jay-Z, to my knowledge, don't have a song. J-Lo and Jay-Z, if they did have a song, it was a long, long time ago and it wasn't super popular. So I'm hitting no. We're not seeing Jay-Z at all during the halftime show. That's a definite no for me. Will Tom Brady be mentioned? Absolutely yes. You guarantee it is. With Jimmy Garoppolo starting at quarterback for the 49ers, there's no way that gets passed up for you, that Tom Brady does not get mentioned during the game. I'll be hitting that one for sure.
Let's talk about beer for a second with these prop bets. Yeah,
your favorite thing in the world to talk about.
Favorite thing in the world, right. Which Anheuser-Busch brand will have a commercial first? So we're between Bud Light and Bud Light Seltzer.
Seltzer, Jesus. Like the whole white claw thing. Bud Light's coming with one of those, I guess. Yep. Jesus.
So we got Bud Light, we got traditional Budweiser, we got Michelob Ultra, and we got Michelob Pure Gold.
Are we still doing Clydesdales, Mike? Is that still a thing?
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I would be leaning towards betting on Clydesdale, since I feel like that's just the most tried and true advertisement campaign. But the seltzer, Mike, seltzer is hot in the streets now with the alcohol. Everyone loves their White Claw. They love their Truly. They love anything that's a seltzer that's not a beer right now. That's what's hot in the streets with the drinker. So I feel like Bud Light Seltzer is probably rightfully so the favorite in this scenario, and I'd pick that to air first during the game.
I got a question for you. Yeah. I see this as a side bet is, will Tom Brady be mentioned during the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
But my real question is, will Tom Brady be on set?
No, I don't think so. Dude, we're getting Gronk for sure. That's confirmed. It's the Fox crew. So we're getting Gronk. But I don't think he's going to be on set. The only thing we got really from media night with Jimmy G is that Tom Brady did text Jimmy G and he said, good luck, go win one. So he did give him his blessing. So I appreciate that from Tommy. Nice gesture there. I think he'll get mentioned at one point just because of the inevitable Patriots scenario and kind of telling the Jimmy G backstory. At one point during the game, it'll come up for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
That's a good look at the prop bets right there. That's a good kind of summation of the random things you can get on. Be sure to cast your bets. Tweet them over to us and let them know the random props that you like or you're betting on as well. I'd love to see everyone's random cards for Super Bowl Sunday. Always a great day of the year.
Yes, definitely. We're gonna pick a couple out. We're gonna bet on Settle It for sure. Yes, we're going to pick some of these prop bets.
Which one do you like, Mike? Because I'll go the other way on one with you if you want to make – if you're thinking maybe the – you know what? I'll give this to you, Mike. Why don't you take the over on Demi Lovato's national anthem? I'm going to take the under. Okay. I think that Demi Lovato with the national anthem, I'm going to go under. I'll let you have the over. I think she's going to go under 2 minutes. I think she's going to be on a two-minute time clock, and I think it's going to be quicker than people think. So I'll let you have the over for the national anthem, and I will take the under 2 minutes and one second. It's officially a bet. We're going to put it on Settle It. It's very easy to do. Settle It, SETTLYT. And our link is really easy if you want to sign up. It's settleit.app.link/courseoflife. You pick a friend from your contacts, you send them an invite to join. It's an easy way to wager without any money. Nothing has to be exchanged. You can bet push-ups, you can bet a high five, a handshake, you can bet a coffee, you can bet pizza, you can bet money if you'd like. It's all up to you. Everything you create is stored in your account for you to track and update anytime. Again, it's settleit, SETTLYT, settleit.app.link/courseoflife. So we'll put that there, Mike. Again, you have the over 2 minutes and 1 second on the national anthem, and I have the under. Everyone enjoy the Super Bowl betting experience out there, and maybe buy a square or two, Mike. You know, maybe you'll win. This could be the year. Yeah. Who knows?
You never know. All right, let's hashtag always end with food, because that's, you know, just how we have to run with life in general, I feel like. Let's start with January's coming to a close. Two things for you that means that's coming to an end. The first is Sober January is coming over.
It is. Yep. And it's over for me. I couldn't make it 31 days, Mike.
Oh.
Yep. For the last 2 years, we conquered it very easily. Myself and my wife are citing a lack of direct motivation to keep it going. Like the last couple years, you know, the first year was like we wanted to do it to get in great shape. The second year we did it because we had a wedding in a few months and we had to be in great shape. So we had a direct motivation. This year we just couldn't find enough excuses to make it through the weekends, and we finally caved last week. But it was a great run. We made it 25 days and did lose some weight, that's for sure.
I mean, it's good for the body. You still got a long way to go to hit my ongoing record.
That's right. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get there. I'll accept second place, though, if you'll give it to me.
Yeah, distant second. Right. And then, of course, your bread, the bread bet is coming to a close. You didn't cave 2 weeks ago. So if you picked out your charity for when you finish out, you still got a couple days left here in January. It's not over yet. But you're picking out a charity for me to donate to?
I have. Yeah, you know, I want to go Tiger Woods Foundation. You know, let's roll with TW. We talked a lot about him on the podcast. Great ambassador of the game, and just a guy that's been given a lot back through his foundation and the schooling that he's been able to provide for thousands of kids. So it'll be that once I finish the bread bet, I'm going to wrap up the last couple of days on that. So one failure, one success on that end. We had those all on Settle It as well too, Mike. I know you had one quick story that you wanted to get in. What was this like plastic gate or something like that, or cup gate? What do you want to call that?
Dunkin' Donuts plastic cup / reusable cup gate. I don't know. We'll just add a gate to the end of the whole story and call it a day.
You seemed oddly peeved about this, so I wanted to let you in for 30 seconds.
I was very peeved about this, so I went into Dunkin' Donuts not drive through because I had my reusable tumbler and I wanted to use it because the wife and I are doing this year, so we're trying to make a conscious effort to reduce our waste and reduce our carbon footprint.
Fair enough.
So I have my reusable cup. So I went in to get my medium iced dark roast, one cream, one sugar, like I always do, and gave him my cup. And then I finish my paying, and then I go wait for it, and I see the guy making the drink because my Dunkin' Donuts is that new model where it's a giant like beer pipe where they have taps for everything.
Right.
Now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you can see them making your drink, whereas the old model you couldn't see anything back there.
Oh yeah, it's wide open.
Exactly. And I see the guy making my drink in a plastic cup.
Oh no, he didn't.
And I say, yeah. And I'm like, I gotta ask you, man, why I gave you my tumbler to use so that you didn't have to waste a plastic cup.
I love this.
Cup.
I love that you asked. I can't wait for his reply.
And he went, well, I need the cup to see the lines to know how to make it. And I go, okay, well, what's the point of me giving you my reusable cup? My whole point is so that you don't waste a plastic cup. And he goes, well, you get the refill price. And it's like, yeah, but I'm doing it so you don't waste a plastic cup. So you're telling me you have to use a plastic cup every time I come in?
I love that you played this out. Oh, my God. That's so good. That's such a Seinfeld conversation that you played out right there.
Well, I will say I do regret not asking for a manager and not being like, is this kid just new? Does he just not know?
That's a newbie thing, Mike. That's definitely first week on the job. He's not comfortable with portioning out, you know, the different ingredients to the coffee drink. So he's just going straight by the line, straight by the books. He doesn't know any better at this point. It's got to be.
I hope so. Because the next time I go in with my tumbler, I'm going to make a point of saying, please don't use a plastic cup to measure stuff out. Don't do
great
that.
Great stuff. That's such a George Costanza like interaction that you had there at Dunkin' Donuts. I love it.
On an interesting side note, with my reusable tumbler, while we're on the Always End with Food topic, I went into Starbucks with it as well recently, and I hand them my tumbler, and they turn and they put it next to the hot coffee and start filling it with water. Actually, at first I'm like, no, iced coffee. And they're like, oh no, we need to rinse the cup out. And she fills my tumbler with hot coffee out of hot water, super hot water out of the tap that they have.
Wow.
And then dumps it. And it's like, it's policy. We need to rinse the cup out.
Wow. So they go, on the other hand, they go above and beyond to take you to take your reusable cup.
Yeah. So they filled my 24 ounce reusable tumbler with 24 ounces of hot water.
God.
And then dump it out. And then it got down to the person at the end of the bar to make my iced coffee. And she's like, wow, they did that. Okay, well, I'm going to fill it with ice for you and then rinse it out with cold water. So now we're wasting a ton of water.
God, no one can get it right, can they? Huh? Jeez.
It's just, I'm going to go back to it. You know, I was making my own iced coffee at home and then I got off and I'm going to have to go back to it. It's the only way to reduce the waste. It's the only way.
It might be time for you to revisit Keurig life. Indeed, it could be something to consider for you.
All right, that puts a wrap on this week's episode of Course of Life. A lot of great stuff coming out this weekend. Just keep following us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. All the great stuff that Alex will put out from his time at the Waste Management Phoenix Open and the Scottsdale Phoenix area. You're going to see some really great stuff there. It's going to be awesome. Of course, Super Bowl this weekend as well. All this awesome stuff we'll have all next week to talk about it. Plus, of course, our fun politics with the Iowa caucuses. It's going to be fun times. Until then, we'll see you out there on social. For Alex, I'm Michael. This has been Course of Life.